sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we indeed have the sun in studio with us today. We're thrilled that our friend Carrie Gore is here representing Hastings Community Education, and she is the director of Hastings Community Education, and she is today joined by Angie McGinnis with Early Childhood Information. I cannot wait to hear what we are going to talk about today. Great to see both of you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. So, first of all, I want to say that school, I know, is we're already past MEA. What the heck?
How can that be? I can't hardly believe
it. And so, what is it so fun to see all the little cuties back in school again?
It is. And now they're kind of getting into a routine. So, they're just so excited to be at school and learning.
So,
and
no more tears when they're dropped off.
Yeah. Nope, those have ended, thankfully. They're pretty short-lived. Once they get rolling, they find out this is not so bad. This is pretty fun.
A fun place. Yeah.
So it's been fun to see them settle in, and we've had lots of great things happening already.
So tell us a little bit about how we know our children are ready for school, because I know that every child has the opportunity, or it's a mandatory to be screened, right?
Well, right. So So there's a couple questions there. So screening is a state mandate that all children need to be screened before entering kindergarten. So the best time to screen is earlier rather than later, so that if there are concerns, there's early intervention. And oftentimes that corrects whatever the issue might be.
So when is early?
3 to 5 is early childhood screening time. And obviously, sometimes the three-year-olds are a little young, and then we have to rescreen them because they're little. So they don't sit there, or they maybe not cooperate or whatever. So
I love three-year-olds. I really do. It's my favorite age.
Yes, they are.
So funny.
So it's kind of a crapshoot at with three. But, even a few months later, it's amazing the growth that changes, and they'll come back in, and we can screen them. But we've had a lot of success with the screening process, just because, like I said, if you find and catch something early, some kids, it'll be resolved before they even enter kindergarten, which is the whole point of screening.
So what do you screen for?
So just developmental milestones, social emotional. We have parents filling out social emotional paperwork that we score and look at in comparison to what the screener has seen. We do height and weight and health.
Vision and hearing.
Yep. So we kind of cover the gamut. It's just a snapshot, but it is a good snapshot of, it's a standardized test that we use. So it's helpful if we do need to move on to the next phase, which it might mean if a child didn't pass screening, then they would be referred on to the early childhood special ed department, and they would do deeper testing. And then take it from there. But so we encourage families to make sure that you get your child screened. We reach out to families, but you can also go online and make an appointment for your child. They're on Fridays in the morning. We're trying to have a few days where we extend that time throughout the day.
That's nice, because didn't it used to be back in the day just a couple days a year or something?
Right. Yep. So we've tried to at least offer it more often.
Nice.
It's still, restrictive for some families, but it's only once that you have to come in. It's at Tilden. It takes typically about an hour to go through the whole process, but we encourage families to make sure that they've taken care of that and can check it off the box before their child's in kindergarten.
And what are some of the things that the kids are asked to do? Because moms and dads aren't aren't there, right? Don't the kids go by themselves?
Well, they can. The parent gets to decide. So if the parent thinks that the child would do better without them in the room, then they stay out. If the most of them go in the room with them and just sit in kind of the off to the side a little bit so that the child can do their do the tasks. But a lot of them are, some are as simple as just drawing. Some are stacking blocks. Identifying pictures. There's a speech portion of it to test their language and speech. So there's a variety of different things. There's gross motor activities. They'll ask, you know, perhaps they'll ask them to hop on one foot. So it just gives a real general.
Is this where I can tell my story about number two? Yeah. In our family that you know, yes. Miss Angie.
Yes.
Yes. So it was like a broomstick or something or a yardstick, and the person said, "Can you jump over that?" And little guy says, "I can. Can you?" He failed.
Well, I got a story back for you. My little guy, who you know.
Yes, I do know.
Number two, he, at his screening, they kept asking him to say his name, and he wouldn't say it. And I'm like, what? Can you say your name? Like, what? You know, you're over there as a parent going, yes. Come on. And then he just went, so they moved on. And then later on, he goes, my name is Tommy. And I'm like, we call you Thomas, first of all. And then he said, like, Tommy DePaula. I'm like, okay, you redeemed yourself.
Yes, he's redeemed an author.
He's a genius.
Next. Way to go, boy.
Next.
I love it. I know. Good. And you know, the thing is, as parents, we are just on the edge of our seats at that age, hoping that they say their name or they jump over a step.
Right. Yes. Because you want them to
do well. Right. But if they don't do well, that's where your group comes in. And that's what I think is so beautiful. So explain that, how that early intervention is so important.
It is so important. So one example, we had a little guy that was just showing some signs of struggling. We'd screened him. We went to the vision test, and he ended up needing glasses, and it turned it around. And his mom has said multiple times, because she's still in our program, she said, we would have never, ever known it. And he doesn't know, a little person doesn't know, because that's all they know, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't have anything to compare it to. So that's, to me, like a perfect
example.
It's
a miracle. I mean, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And it just turned everything around for that
kid. Same as hearing, I would assume.
Right.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. So we really encourage you to come in. There is a video on our website that shows what a typical screening looks like. It's actually from the state of Minnesota, or the Department of Ed. But that's a good little clip that you can see, so you can kind of see what happens if you're a little nervous about bringing your child in. But there's really nothing to be nervous about. It's just we tell the kids that they're kind of getting to play some games, and they go to different stations, basically, and then they wrap up in about an hour. It usually goes really well.
Where do you get the names of the kids to screen?
So that's a very good question. So this is another thing families can do. If you're new to town or have recently had a child, there's a census form that needs to be filled out for our school district to even know that a child exists, right? Because how else will we know that they're... We try to get them out to, obviously, like the hospital. Once we, you know, in our program, we hand them out to all the families, and then that gets put into the student information system at the district office. So, but without that information, we can't just start sending out information. So either they have to come to us if they haven't filled that out, or if they have filled out that form, then we reach out to them. It kind of in stages, you know, we want the older kids to be screened sooner than later, because they're going to be going to kindergarten. So our screening secretary will reach out to those families if they're in the database. But if they're not, that's definitely an issue. So then what typically ends up happening is, if they haven't filled out the census form, they'll go to register for kindergarten, and they'll say, "Have you done your screening?" And they'll say no. And then we have to get them screened
pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly at the beginning of the year. We usually do the first day after Labor Day, when the rest of the district's starting school. We have a day for screening just for kindergartners, because we're trying to catch them. We have a certain amount of time that we can catch them before that the state allows us to. So we try to do one last ditch effort to get the kids all screened. But that's typically how it happens. Kids can be screened if they moved from another district. Then we just get the files from them if they were screened in another district. So
So if you have not heard from somebody within community education or ECFE, you should reach out.
Right. So you can either go online to our community ed website and pick an appointment yourself, or you can call our community ed office and our secretary will set you up with an appointment.
And when kids get to kindergarten, what are they expected to know these days?
Oh, wow. So much. And Our district has done quite a big effort in gathering our early childhood educators and our kindergarten educators together to kind of come up with some information for parents on kind of like a little checklist that they can kind of run through. And it includes both reading and mathematics, but also some social emotional information.
Okay, so
too.
Reading and mathematics, we have to know by the time we're in kindergarten?
No, but things that go along with that. So sorting would be considered math.
Laundry, when I do laundry, that's math.
It's great.
Yes.
And I didn't think I would use any math.
There you are.
I can't wait to go home and share that with my kids. What else?
Patterns, making patterns. But basically, a lot of families and actually providers, we work closely with daycare providers and other centers. And parents, they want to know what
they do.
What should my child be doing or able to do? But it's kind of a fine line because we don't want to scare them and make them feel like, oh my gosh, my child's not hopping on one foot. What's wrong with them? You know what I mean? We don't want to do that either. But we typically give kind of a general idea of some of the things that they should be doing, like counting to 20, identifying uppercase and lowercase would be ideal, following three-step directions, rhyming is a big deal to have some of that under your belt before you get to kindergarten. These are all pre-literacy skills that we want kids to have going into kindergarten, because by the end of kindergarten, most of them are reading, and that used to be a first grade thing. So Everything's kind of just been, you know, pushed down. So we're kind of doing the things that kindergarten used to be responsible for a long time ago.
Yeah, in our preschool program. Right.
So that's been really helpful, I think, for providers and families in general. And we actually have on our district website, if you go to the district website, there's an actual kindergarten readiness page that Jen Reichel has set up. She's our director of teaching and learning. And that has some great resources on there for families that are at that point where their child will be entering kindergarten.
So if a child does not pass the screening in the way that you had hoped or that their parents had hoped, what are some of the different specialists that you would send them to?
Well, so depending on what their scores are, if they're borderline, we might just rescreen them to see if it was
a bad day.
Right. And then if they're scores that indicate, nope, this child needs to move on to the within the referral process, that's our early childhood special ed department. And those are just teachers, special ed teachers, that will do deeper assessment. They'll just take it to a different level and be more specific about the areas that they're testing. So depending on the scoring of the screening, if it was a developmental piece that was lower, then they would, you know, cater their next assessment to looking into deeper at what developmental issues might be happening. Vision and hearing, we might have them come back for a rescreen, and then we would maybe refer them to a doctor outside of our, you know, what we can offer, obviously, because our nurse isn't a doctor.
Right. But so much of what you are able to help with is free if you are within the district.
That's right. Yes. Which is, the screening is free. We don't charge for the screening. It's great information for you to have about your child, and you're being proactive is really what you're doing. Not to mention, it's a state mandate that you get this done, but it's also just being very proactive for your child and on behalf of your child before they enter kindergarten. And we want all the kids to have the best start that they can once they start their K-12 experience. So
what else is going on? I know that one of my favorite things is to snoop in your catalog, even though I don't have kids that age anymore, but those are some of my favorite memories.
Yeah, right. So we are wrapping up our semester at the end of January. So we will have a new early childhood family ed catalog coming out probably mid-December, and they'll have our classes for the winter and spring session, which will start at the beginning of February. So if you're not on our mailing list, you're going to want to get on that by just calling our office again or emailing me. But we have this year a variety of classes. We tried to extend them. Usually our classes were an hour to an hour and a half, and this year we tried to make them all two-hour classes just so that parents had more time with the parent educator, and obviously so that the child had more time with their parent. So that's gone over pretty well. And then our new catalog will also have our preschool offerings for the 2020-21 school year. So it's hard to wrap your head around that. You're just getting this school year going, and you're already thinking about next school year. So, but that registration for preschool will happen at the end of February. And things do fill up fast, believe it or not. Especially the morning classes seem to fill up quickly because we offer half-day morning, half-day afternoon. We also offer transportation in the morning.
Yes, explain that, because that really has changed the opportunity for some kids to come to you.
Yes, right. Absolutely. So we, the bus company has been fantastic to work with. They've made this happen. They're not contracted pre-K-12. They're contracted K-12. So Terry and the bus company have gone out of their way to help us get kids here. So that has been huge. So we only offered it in the morning, and we have about 30 kids riding the bus out of probably 170. So it's a good chunk of kids. They go door to door. They don't drop off unless they see an adult. So it's a very safe. There's no other kids on the bus. They do the K-12 routes and then come back and get our kids. So it's a very, very safe. The kids love it. They think the bus is great. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody. We charge a small fee to help curb the costs of the transportation. But if you're a family that's on scholarship, the scholarship covers your transportation costs as well. That's really helped a lot of our kids who normally wouldn't be able to get there because parents are working, or maybe they just didn't have the means. Maybe they had one car in their family and the spouse is driving to work. So it's helped us really reach out to at-risk kids that we really want in our program. So that's definitely been a plus for our program. We added an all-day section, piloted it last year, and we ran it again this year. We weren't sure if we should have opened another section, but we found out later that we could have easily filled two classes of all-day preschool. And basically, so preschool has changed quite a bit.
It really has.
But it's really what the needs of the family are. We have so many parents that are both working, and they're really looking for one spot to bring their child. We have some families that go to daycare, but then they'll bring their kid to preschool. Well, this just kind of covers it all. So it's really gone over very well, and we plan to add another section next school year. So.
Unbelievable. Thank you both for coming in today.
Yes.
Our guests, Angie McGinnis with the ECFE program, and if people want to learn more, how can they do that, Angie?
Well, they can call our number, our 480-7670 number is our general community education phone number, which can reach both our screening, myself. Otherwise, go online. We have our catalog posted online, and that's hastingscommunityed.com.
Wonderful. Carrie Gore, great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for all you both do. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.